Evening, fellow gooners, to another episode of the Totally Arsenal podcast. I'm your host, Mona, as always, and my co-host, Aiden.
How's it, guys? Another 3 points, and another 3 points closer to the top of the table.
As we march on.
So, what's your thoughts on the Newcastle game, being in mind it was at St. James's Park, a place we lost last season after being 1-0 up? Anything that you can add, and anything that we did differently from last season?
I just think, I think both teams were very cautious going into the first half, especially. Both teams just feeling each other out because I think for most parts of the game, that first period, Newcastle were just, almost like venture getting being allowed to almost like venture as far forward as they can. And I mean, it's it also brought up that topic that you and I talked about, I think, last week about how we. The slow start is always kind of catching up to us because, being on the back foot and because, Newcastle were just throwing bodies forward at one point. And it's almost like we were just having to weather the storm because none of us could really get a foot on the ball in the squad. So, but then I think things also, I think that the halftime also couldn't have come sooner because you could see immediately when that second half started and Emery did that change. Immediately, you see that Torreira factor when he came on because it was almost like a case of he could now sit back, patrol, break up play, do that bit. But also, then it gave Xhaka that freedom to go forward because, I've been also always highly critical of him, of Xhaka. But, seeing him now playing with Torreira shielding the defense, I don't know, one actually feels a bit more confident now in Xhaka's play because he's not going for it. And you can see when he plays like it, he's not what Wenger tried doing with him and, creating like this type of holding mid or box to box type of guy. He's somebody that likes floating around in that final third in a way. He will track back a bit in the middle of the park to win you a tackle or two. And then, you'll see him venture forward again. And I think that's what also helped a hell of a lot on the match.
I think it comes to a thing of when Wenger used to do that kind of that, was it square pegs into round holes, trying to almost force a player into playing a position. Kind of like when you play those video games, Pro Evolution comes to mind, where you kind of force a player to play in a position and eventually he becomes used to it. But I mean, we're dealing with professional footballers here that can't always, if you they can't like if you tell someone to automatically sit and he's not a natural sitter, he's never gonna do his job well. He's always gonna have that lapse of concentration. He's always gonna put that rash tackle in. And like you said, Torreira made a massive difference when coming on. And I mean, he did that against Cardiff as well. Even when he came on, he's a bit of cameos. Yesterday, he gave the ball away against Chelsea with a loose pass. But I think other than that, I actually hope he starts, and he probably will get a start tonight. But in the Premier League, I actually hope he starts soon.
I'm just okay. I don't want to jump the gun also because I still want to talk about the Forslag game later on. But just going back to the Newcastle game, I mean, one thing I also enjoyed a lot was seeing Ozil playing in a sort of free roam role where you don't need him really to, sometimes maybe to double up just to slow down an opponent. But for me, when you saw him floating in and around the edge of the box of Newcastle, and then also floating around in the middle of the park. That, then you can see that type of, you get that slight glimpse of what what Germany normally used to get from him, and what even Real Madrid used to get from him, where you can see, since you're not giving him that sort of, the job of you're gonna have to defend for the whole game or something like that. Whereas now he can, he plays the field, so he does that little pass and move. And you just see him floating all around, and after a while you can see afterwards Newcastle, some of the players in midfield did not know whether to pick him up or just to let him go. And I mean, he was actually causing a lot of damage. Then in that second half, where he was now getting to thread that ball through that. I mean, it might look simple, but I mean, Ozil was picking all their little gaps that Newcastle were trying to compress.
I think, like you said, we needed that kind of, that midfield support behind Ozil, almost where, I know we always joke about the way as like a protector, almost like no one can get like close to him and everybody will clean up his mess and give him the ball. I know at this moment in time, we're a club that doesn't have that, or we can't afford that luxury to have a player that can drift in and out of games. But I think if we maybe make the midfield a bit tougher, like whether Torreira and Xhaka or like just that tough tackling midfielders, then I think Ozil can, we can get a bit more out of Mesut Ozil if he's not going to have to track back too much. That being said, I'm not always a fan of a number 10 not getting stuck in.
Yeah, I mean, especially if you watch people, like Hazard and them that, get stuck in, bloody ankles bursting through opposing midfielders or dancing around centre backs, and that is the sort of, I think we will probably always hope for something like that. But I mean, look, we've got Ozil and we have to just adapt also in that way.
I just hope that we kind of can get more out of Mkhitaryan as well, because I think I expected like he started off well, but I don't know. I can't see him fitting into the team with Lacazette and Aubameyang at the moment as well.
Yeah, you mentioned that I was watching like the last two or three games, where he has not played. I don't know, because there was one game also he did not come on at all. But I don't know. It seems like he's getting in that sort of form that got the United fans on his back. He's not really pushing himself to. I mean, look, we saw that first few months of him at Arsenal after that Sanchez swap deal took place.
Yeah.
He was giving his all, busting a gut. And I don't know, it's almost like he just can't come to the pace of things at the moment. I mean, you can see Emery is not trying to shift him in again, because I think he got probably pulled from the squad completely for, not really in certain games and that. And I think that this was almost like a wake-up call for him. So, I mean, I just hope he does, heed that Emery warning and, gives his all now. Because, look, he is one hell of a talented player. I mean, from his Dortmund days, and even that when he made his name there, also at Shakhtar, he is like a very tricky player. Can mesmerize people with that left foot, right foot passing and that. But I mean, he really needs to, pull his finger out and crank it out now. Because look, we're gonna have now also that run where I told you last week of the four home games. So we got the momentum going for us now. We got the crowd also going. So, I mean, let us clock up all these points how we can, and with a Carabao game, let's get also through that round also.
Yeah, going back to Mkhitaryan, I mean, he showed glimpses of it, like you said in the start of when he came, and as well, like even that goal against Chelsea, it was a very well taken goal. I just at the moment now, I struggle to see where he would fit in the squad, especially with Lacazette and Aubameyang. And I read an article as well where, like, I don't want to jump the gun, but they compare them very much to a lot of striking duos of in the past, like the Andy Cole, Dwight York, and who else was there? Who was the black one? It was Sutton, and who was the other one? It's Shearer and Sutton.
S and S.
Yeah, so I know it's still far-fetched to compare them to those people. They all won titles, but it seems like they have this camaraderie off and on the field, which seems to be benefiting the team and also both of their playing styles.
And I mean, also like a big up also to somebody like Iwobi, who's at the moment also got that slot, that of Mkhitaryan. Because I mean, he is, look, he might not have the. I think he still struggles in a way with, finishing a game, because you can see, yeah, he actually runs himself flat by the hour mark or something like that. So he actually needs to also, work on it. But I mean, hats off to the guy. I mean, he's now also getting himself into contention. So it's almost like they are scrapping for one open spot in the team.
And I must admit, I think that was maybe the first podcast we made where I was wasn't too happy the fact that Iwobi signed a new contract. I didn't think he would add much to the team, but looking at him now, his performances, the shifts he's been putting in, like, I'm actually happy he signed. And I mean, if he can just take this form going forward, he can be a very good player to have in the squad, especially with all these games in the Europa League and Carabao Cup. I think he can maybe be like a key starter in all of those games.
And I mean, you can also have youngsters, look up to him to see, okay, I want to be like this guy now. He came through from the youth ranks, and look where he's playing now. And also another thing I wanted to add was, I think that his work rate is also pushed by Emery, because I think Emery has probably picked up on that already, probably pre-season and stuff like that. But he's probably now, because I think that is why we are seeing that sort of Iwobi form now, because it's like he knows this guy can see. When he pushes himself to the limit, he gets, the praise and that. And, he can't really slack off because there's now people queuing in line to get into that slot.
Yeah, and I think Xhaka also maybe stepped up. Like, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but with Torreira there, I think he may feel a bit, I can say, more free to play his game. But I don't think in Switzerland he has that holding. I think another guy plays next to him and does that dirty work as well. So.
And I think also, like, if you think of Guendouzi, that is also like, I think it's those games have now also finally caught up to him. So, he needs also, a type of break now.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. And sorry to add, well, the another disappointing thing coming to the game was not keeping a clean sheet.
Yeah, I also.
I'm very old-fashioned with that, so I'll take sometimes a few 1-0 wins over, that massive 4-0, 4-1, 5-0. Like, just sometimes it's nice to just see your defense also getting confidence, starting to build as a unit, being tougher to beat, tougher to score against.
Yeah, because I mean, for me, if you look at it goal again, it frustrates me because it was like a cheap goal to concede. Cross it came in, and I mean, Mustafi got totally under the ball.
Yeah.
And I mean, it dropped perfectly to, I forgot the guy that scored now, but then I thought to myself, okay, that's one of those things, but it's annoying because I mean, you actually want to start. Because I mean, that is another thing that momentum can build with it, where the defense are thinking, look, let's have a couple of shutouts. They have these clean sheets that build on upon that as well. But it's like, I don't know, there's always that slacked off moments mentally, I think, where they switch off completely.
But yeah, we seem to iron out certain things. I mean, we're starting to actually iron out these little things that's been costing us in the past. I mean, the like you said, like you mentioned in a private message, it's a game as well we could have lost last season. And another thing, after playing Chelsea and Man City, it wasn't the most settling of easy games to get through, and I think the team are slowly now starting to settle in the Emre way, slowly but surely.
Yes, and I also think that's why we also got the somebody like Alan Shearer, who's always highly, highly critical of us. And I mean, it was a 2-1 win, but he gave us credit for that game, the way we performed, because he said, if that was an Arsenal of last season, like the squad, or mentally, they would have probably lost there, or even lost their way from that when it was 2-1. He said, then they would probably also. Just folded after that, and Newcastle could have probably steamrolled us at that last few minutes.
Yeah, so there's definitely a lot of positives coming. And I mean, it's good that us as fans can start seeing something like that. I know we're not entirely happy yet, and we're never going to have the finished article overnight as a team. But the fact that we are slight improvements showing that we are heading in the right direction.
Yeah. So, okay, we wrap up on that now. So we're going to talk now about tonight's Europa League game against Vorskla from the Ukrainian League. Probably I think, I believe, yeah, it's the first time they meet each other in on any form of football. So, you know, it's going to be a probably not a really open game because from what I read up on Vorskla, they are at the moment they're fifth in the Ukrainian league, and I think they played eight games so far, played four, lost four, and they're kind of goal shy. So, you know, I expect a full-on attack from Arsenal tonight. Probably all the, you know, reserves, and I'm not saying it with disrespect because I mean we've got now quality reserves. So, you know, expect to see somebody like Leno and Lichtsteiner holding people like that. The only question I think there was on the left back situation because we've got Sead Kolasinac still out with that problem with the ankle. And we still got Ainsley Maitland-Niles out, I think, but I mean, he started running already, so he should be also ready sometime in October. So there was talk of Nacho either getting a break tonight, and one of the players that Emery has now promoted to come into the first team setup is a left back. His name slips in my mind because he's, like, you know, very new on the scene. So I mean, it could be a possibility where that kid could get a chance tonight, or if Nacho plays, Nacho will probably, you know, play maybe one half, and then the kid gets the other half.
I think it's important for the guys getting an opportunity tonight to put up their hand and show that they can add something to our starting 11 at the moment. Because it seems like Emre is a very fair guy. Like if you perform, he will stick you into the squad, which I don't think, like I think I mentioned previously, Wenger would do before, because if you played well, he would just go back to the starting 11. So I think it's a good opportunity for everybody to show what they've got. And who knows, maybe one of them can even steal a place in the starting 11, because I do feel Torreira will definitely start tonight. And I think if he gets that start and makes a good impression, he could be very well starting against Everton the weekend.
I think, you know, with regards to Emery, I think he will give the youth also where he can a chance because from what I recall of I think last season he was also giving that son of George Weah, I think his name's Timothy Weah, that's at PSG. He was giving him, you know, also a run up front to play alongside the likes of Mbappe and Neymar or Cavani and them. So he, you know, he's a fair guy, and I mean as he was also, you know, blooding some of the young defenders of PSG also into the first team setup. And I mean, when they have a young son, one of the seasoned pros next to them, kind of rubs off on that kid, and normally that works out when he, you know, when he uses them like that. So I think he's probably going to do the same type of setup at Arsenal now as well. So it's not going to be too drastic, you know, where we used to, everybody's always shocked on Twitter or whatever that so many drastic changes in the squad.
I see they as a later poster on my way driving to work today where they actually called Emre the king of the Europa League. So hopefully he can take that reputation and we can get a good result tonight actually.
Because I mean, my personal opinion is, I mean, I'm actually looking for something like anything from four plus goals tonight. I mean, I'm getting a bit greedy, but I just think with that sort of firepower that we do have, we should, you know, take advantage of it. Because look, that team is also going to be very cautious. They're not, you know, for them it's also an experience to play a top European club. So I think they will be, you know, cautious. Maybe try, you know, either counter punching us and stuff like that. But I think it should be a standard game for Arsenal.
So if you are a betting man, your money would go to Arsenal tonight.
With a four plus goal, you know, that
Yeah.
the odds when you put the goal thing, yeah, I think it's probably a
That's,
four goal swing.
I think it's a good way also for Arsenal to get confidence. I mean, a nice 4-0 win or 5-0 win, clean sheet, defense happy, everybody's happy, confidence all around, and then we take on a tough game against Everton, which I think is going to be not easy. They'll probably want to bounce back from West Ham as well. So,
Yeah, I think that's an unpredictable factor because you also don't know what sort of Everton you're going to face at the moment, because, you know, look, they've also now spent big in the summer, and I mean really big. And them and along with West Ham, that is not really, you know, paid off the way people have been hyping it all up. You know, when all these new faces came in the summer. Now, I mean, I was really thinking they're going to storm up, you know, the table. But I mean, I've not seen that really from Everton. So I don't know. And I mean, people like Jordan Pickford also showing now vulnerabilities and stuff in goal. So that could have, and I mean, with our own crowd, I just hope that also could swing our way now.
And like I said, taking advantage of the fact that we almost have four home games on the trot, I think we need to take very full advantage of that. And one thing, I know it was only one game, but I watched the Liverpool PSG game, and I wasn't really impressed the way PSG was playing. I know it's only a one-off game, but I think Emre actually could have made a slight difference in the team, because when I watched them play with Emre, I saw actually a more threatening team than I saw under Tuchel. So I think Emre can get us playing well, and my doubts are slowly starting to fade away, because I wasn't the biggest fan of actually having him as the coach at Arsenal.
No, I mean, I think I was always open to it. I mean, look, we were linked with so many people. I just thought Arteta was too big of a risk. I mean, I know, yes, he's with a successful manager and that, but I just think if you're putting something, I mean, like, you know, putting in a teenager's hands, something like that, because look, he's not really seasoned in that. He's still learning the ropes. I mean, I've voted for Arteta, but I just think the Arsenal thing was too big for him at the moment, at that time. And as for the other managers who were linked to, Allegri would have
Yeah,
been
he
my
would have to
first
find his
choice.
feet first,
And then,
just like
I mean, I
Guardiola
think
did under
with the top
Barcelona, because he coached
five
the
managers, you know, with the top five managers, I was actually thinking, like, well, for the Arsenal job, I was thinking, okay. Someone like Emery would have probably been my fourth or fifth choice.
podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.